Welcome to Let the Quran Speak. I'm Sophia, your host. A former pastor has decided to live a year as if there is no God. Ryan Bell is seriously considering atheism after becoming disillusioned with his faith and disconnected from his church. He says he will not pray, read the Bible, or hope for God's intervention for the next 12 months. His decision has been met with curiosity and criticism amongst people of faith and atheists alike. Is it important for people of faith to explore alternative worldviews? If so, what's the best way to do so? Dr. Shabir Ali joins me to discuss whether it could ever be considered praiseworthy to live a year without God. Dr. Shabir Ali, welcome to Let the Quran Speak.
It's my pleasure to be on.
Now, here we have a former pastor, Ryan Bell, expressing serious doubts about his faith and writing about it publicly. What are your thoughts on that sort of thing?
Well, what is interesting is that he has come out to express his change in belief. It is also known that in many churches there are pastors fully functioning, carrying on their congregations, preaching as though everything is as usual, but they have lost belief in God. A book has been written about this by Daniel Dennett and Linda Laskolga. The book is entitled Caught in the Pulpit, Leaving Belief Behind. An abstract of their study has been published and is available for free online as well, in which they detail their interviews with some pastors who are still functioning in churches, but obviously they are given the shade of anonymity in the study, so that they can carry on their work unmolested. But they have admitted that they have lost faith, but they're carrying on for various reasons.
So what are some of those reasons? Maybe you can share those with us.
Well, there were five persons who were interviewed in detail, and they give varying reasons. One of them cited his own financial burdens. He is $200,000 in debt, and if he leaves his position, he does not know how he will be able to manage financially. Meanwhile, he is looking for another job, but he carries on in the face of his difficulties. Others may sometimes feel that if they stay within the church, they can revolutionize the thinking within the church gradually. Often they have difficulties with some traditional beliefs, and they feel that these beliefs need to be modified. If they stay with the church, they can help people gradually through their preaching and elaboration of these new beliefs as much as the congregation can stomach. They will be able to change the thinking over time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Christians are exclusive in this? I mean, there must be also Muslim imams, Jewish rabbis who also do the same sort of thing.
I think we all struggle with the tension between traditionally set beliefs and modern challenges. In the Islamic faith, to our satisfaction, we do not have things so carved in stone as in some other religions. In some religions, we have had series of councils in which things are decided and put down in black and white. This is exactly what we're supposed to believe. And then these beliefs are printed in documents of every organization. An organization is founded on a document that says this is what we believe, this is what we subscribe to, and so on. In the Islamic faith, on the other hand, things have evolved a little differently. We have the Quran as the word of God. But when it comes to the detailed articulation of the faith, there have been many scholars over the centuries who have given what they call their own creedal statements. But it is their creedal statements, and many of these creedal statements have become popular and widely accepted, but they have never achieved the status of the creedal statement for all Muslims to believe. There are some statements which are more widely known than others, and they have achieved the kind of canonical status, if I use that term, because of their widespread use. Many children are taught to remember certain formulas in Arabic from the time they're very young. But these formulas, the fact that they're memorizable already indicates that they are short. And indeed they are very short, and they state only some of the most basic things which no Muslim really has any difficulty in believing. For example, belief in God, in his angels, his books, his prophets, belief in the last day and in our resurrection after death, and God's predestination of all things. These beliefs, briefly stated as they are, allow for some elaboration and explanation, and varying Muslims may have varying views on the specifics of these beliefs, but the beliefs themselves are stated in a very stark and precise manner.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think a religious leader should do if they do have doubts about something, let's say the beliefs that you mentioned, belief in God, or certain practices within the faith?
Well, I believe that practicing believers, whether leaders or lay people, have a duty to their own conscience to speak what they believe and act according to what they believe. There is no room for being hypocritical, believing one thing and doing the opposite. A leader in particular has a special responsibility because people look up to the leader, to him or her, for spiritual guidance. And so that leader will have to say specifically and precisely what he or she believes and then face whatever consequences there are. Indeed, in the models that we follow in religion are the great prophets whose stories are told in the Quran again and again, and also we find their stories in other scriptures such as in the Bible. We see the prophet Jeremiah, for example, in the Bible, who was preaching something that was unpalatable, but because he believed that the word of God came to him and he was being inspired to preach, he continued to preach regardless of whether people might believe in him or not. The prophet Muhammad, on whom be peace, preached at a time when his message was not received well. He and his followers were being persecuted, but for more than a decade, he continued to preach the same message, knowing very well that it will not be received well, and he will receive the kind of persecution that he was already getting. Mm-hmm. So that being our model, we are taught in our religion that we are to speak the truth in the face of power, and we accept whatever the consequences.
But what about if the truth is that a pastor, for example, doesn't believe in God anymore? Then do you expect that pastor to speak that truth as well?
Well, obviously, this is what the responsibility of leadership entails. He or she would be there at the head of the congregation, inspiring people to do right, to speak the truth, and to not act hypocritically. Mm-hmm. It would be a shame if the pastor or the leader of a church or a mosque or whatever religious place of worship should then act contrary to the very preaching that they are delivering. They are inspiring other people to be good, and then they themselves would not be. Mm-hmm. The Quran asks, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Do you command other people to do good and you forget yourself while you yourself are reading the scripture? أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Mm-hmm. Have you no sense?
So I want to ask you then, do you think that this experiment that this pastor, Ryan Bell, is undergoing, do you think it's a good experiment? He's decided to live a year as an atheist.
Well, it's an interesting experiment. It's a new one in our digital age with modern media. People are doing all kinds of things and saying, follow me, watch me do it. See how I end up.
Yeah, he's blogging regularly, and he intends to write a book eventually.
Yeah,
as well.
So there's a real life experiment here. So this is new, and it's interesting for all of us to see what will happen in the end. Mm-hmm. But we also need to not be caught up with the event of this one person, but to think about the phenomenon more globally. What is happening with religion, and why is it that people are turning away from religion? Why are some pastors or preachers or imams or other leaders infected by this doubt? What is happening? Well, For a long time, religion was thought of in a simplistic manner. People just simply said, we believe, and that's all. We don't need any sort of rationalization or explanation. We are now, after the Enlightenment in the European Middle Ages, we are now in a period in which things are being dissected, everything is being studied, everything is being examined. It is no longer sufficient to say this is our belief, we just maintain it and we don't ask any questions. Our youth are going to be asking questions. New generations of people are going to be asking why, Mom, why, Dad? And we have to have good answers for these. Our youth will be studying philosophy 101 as an elective course, even if they're not into philosophy more generally. And they will come across certain questions, big questions of life, questions for which religion provides an answer, but for which there could be alternative answers out there from other systems such as atheism and skepticism and so on. We need within our religious circles to begin to address these kinds of questions.
So what's the way to intellectually prepare ourselves for those challenges then?
Well, most mosques and churches and other places of worship have sermons, and in addition to sermons, classes and sessions for study of the scriptures. We should not just make these sessions for studies of the scriptures alone, but we should make these the study of ideas. Mm-hmm. And the Muslim youth in particular should be taught, how do we answer the atheist? If somebody says there is no God, how do you try to explain to that person that there is a God? Why do you believe that there is a God? Is it just simply because mom and dad told you so, or because there are good philosophical reasons for maintaining the belief that you feel instinctively that you have in the existence of God? So by instilling this sort of rational thinking in our youth from a very young age, we will equip them to maintain their faith in the face of whatever might be thrown at them, because it will be that they'll be able to say, I've heard that before, I know where that is coming from, I know how to answer that.
Yeah, but it's not just answering that, but feeling it from within, right?
Exactly, to be convinced from within that what we have is true, because we've explored the various options. The difficulty for religion in our modern world is that religionists generally have not received this kind of training, and they tend to just simply say, we believe, and that's it. And some, and this is a more dangerous aspect that I should point out, some even think that religion ought to be contrary to reason.
Hmm.
And that belief may actually have been nurtured by having come upon a certain item of the faith that one feels is not reasonable. And then one asks for an explanation, hoping that there might be one. Then one is told that there is no explanation, you just accept it. Mm-hmm. And then that acceptance of this one unreasonable thing then sets the person in a new pattern of thinking, a pattern that suddenly says, well, I know that religion is not reasonable. And that too can have a spiraling effect where other things which could have been reasonable are no longer approached with a reasonable outlook and no longer made reasonable, but taken to a kind of an extreme. And this has happened a lot in the elaboration of Islam over the centuries, in that Muslim scholars have adopted the principle that religion is not reasonable, some Muslim scholars, and this has become the widespread view in many scholarly circles. And so with that view in mind, they have made more and more things unreasonable. We need to get out of that rut.
Thank you for your insights, Dr. Shabir Ali.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break, and when we return, choosing Facebook over holy books.